Yeah, I mean, listen, for every personnel guy and coach, it's about building your 53-man roster. You're going to lose guys off your roster through the natural attrition, whether it be free agency or you're just moving on. The other thing is that, you know, you're gonna draft and you're going to trade and you're going to sign free agents.
Right, right.
So it's really kind of, you know, I'm catching up. I feel like I'm playing catch-up right now, and that's okay because, you know, the new league year starts a little bit later, March 13th this time around. Obviously, you know, we don't have a lockout we're covering, thank God, and we are going to have a draft.
And that's a great thing, yeah. And as they form the strategies, these teams put together their plans more. Are you seeing any particular trends of the clubs you've talked with in terms of their big picture approaches to how they want to put together rosters in 2012?
No, I really haven't. I mean, to me, it's I think, you know, it's always interesting after the draft. Everybody wants to assign draft grades. And my feeling is, show me an organization that has a philosophy, and when they've assembled all their picks and trades or free agencies, did they stick? Were they true to their philosophy?
Right.
And I think that's – and then it's going to be 3 years down the road before you can really assign a grade to it. But I think for the most part, you know, people are looking at it and saying, okay, this draft right here, it's heavy with receivers. It's heavy with defensive backs. Do we get one through free agency and get our defensive backs? You know, if we need a quarterback, you know, are we going to get one in the draft or are we going to go after one of the free agent guys? Is Peyton Manning going to be free?
Right.
How good is Kyle Orton? You know, and so I think that I know from talking to personnel people and general managers, they feel like they don't feel as rushed. They're not having nervous breakdowns right now, Vic. That's one interesting part of this. They seem,
really?
And I think maybe after last year, it was so stressful. They're just enjoying this different timeline, and it is a different timeline. We're pushed back a little.
Are there any dynamics caused by how the structure of the collective bargaining agreement as it's put together, and any that and again, when I brought up about trends, I guess more along the lines of the way teams are looking at how they want to construct themselves. There's always that waiting period of, you know, if player X signs, then this has a domino effect. This impacts, you know, the rest of the rest of the picture in, say, the first tier of free agency, then the second tier, and so forth. Do you envision anything like that? Is who's the guy that will hold the train up, so to speak, or will be that key guy that everybody's focused on, and then the logjam just bursts loose?
Well, you know, from the quarterback standpoint, it's obviously will be Peyton Manning if he's a free agent, because then it's going to be, okay, what's going to happen with Matt Flynn,
right,
you know, out of Green Bay, and how's that going to impact your draft? All of a sudden now, does that mean if the Dolphins don't get Peyton Manning, are they going to go ahead and make a huge play for Robert Griffin III? So that's a little bit of free agency and draft mixed in together. So, you know, but in terms of the actual players on the market, I mean, you could apply it to some wide receivers. I mean, you could apply it to, you know, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, where's Peyton Hillis going to be? But but don't you feel like the Browns are going to get another running back anyway?
And you're talking about the running back position. The answer is yes. I mean, I think you would, regardless of whatever Hillis's status is, you can add to that position. You can make that position better. You can get a contrast to a guy who's just a straight ahead power runner. That's what his game is. His game isn't changing. He isn't going to become a finesse guy all of a sudden. So you still need that outside, that perimeter speed.
No, and so, you know. That's. I think every team looks at it. I think right now the Patriots. Let's talk about the Patriots. They just went to another Super Bowl. Bill Belichick knows he's got to improve his roster.
Right.
I mean that, you know, right now they are very dependent upon number 12, Tom Brady, and I think he knows as Tom nears the end of his career, whenever that is, that roster's got to get better. I mean, so, you know, I think getting his defense up to a more dominant level is a huge goal for Belichick this offseason. We've seen him collect draft picks and collect them going forward. I think you're going to see him use those draft picks this year to try and put the type of players that he needs to not be so dependent upon Tom Brady. Not a bad guy to be dependent upon.
Sure.
But I think he probably senses that they're too dependent on him.
Chris Mortensen of ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford at the Combine in Indianapolis. Chris, as we look to this draft class and the strengths, weaknesses, whatever, and the opinions will vary on that, but it seems like if you're a team like the Browns and you're trying to address offensive needs, you should be able to come away with some substantive help at multiple positions. I know the focus is going to be on quarterback, obviously, but you can do well at other offensive spots. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I would agree.
Early look, at least,
people, people were saying there's receivers in this draft, that there are offensive linemen. They're not necessarily, you know, there's some good first-round offensive linemen, but they could be offensive linemen later in the draft. I know we were talking to Todd McShay, who does some of our draft work, and right. He says, you know, maybe this might be an average draft in terms of star power, but there's going to be some really good players that people get in the fourth and fifth rounds that we'll be talking about in another couple of years. So we don't talk about them now because we focus on the stars. We focus on the marquee guys, on Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III and Trent Richardson and Matt Khalil and those type of guys. But, yeah, I can't remember which GM told me this. And he said any personnel guy who tells you this is a bad draft means – he's looking for excuses for it to be a bad draft.
I've heard that before.
It's an alibi. You know, if you can find players, and the other, but there's part of this. You evaluate players, mm-hmm. You select players, sign them, however, and then you have to develop players. There's all these levels to this, and development is your coaching staff, and development is having stability within your organization, so you're not turning over coaches all and personnel people all the time, because all of a sudden somebody else is. You know, gem is somebody else's trash.
Fair amount of intrigue over the St. Louis Rams sitting there in that number two spot, and the presumption that so many teams, including the Browns, could be bidding their way to there to get a hold of Robert Griffin III. How do you see the strategy of the Rams organization in handling it? How do you see them managing what could very well be something that is enormous, because if the right deal is done for them, it's a game changer for the Rams, perhaps for a long time. Obviously, the team that makes the deal with them hoping to get a game changing player, but they're the ones that are going to be giving up a lot or giving up something, whatever that is, to get them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, right now we've all talked about the Browns, the Redskins, the Dolphins as teams that might be willing to move up the two, and that's us speculating about it. And you know, obviously the Browns may have to give up a little bit less, you know, because really we always, you're just dropping down two more spots to the number four spot. So you're going to get a good player. If it's an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, you're going to get a good player. But, you know, the higher you climb, the more you're going to have to give up, you know.
Sure.
I just think that for the Rams, they need players. I mean, listen, they've got some play. You know, they're not totally devoid of talent. They have some talent. They got a quarterback. Yeah. They got a couple offensive linemen. Their defensive front seven's not bad. They need secondary people, but they ended up with 9 or 10 guys on IR out of the secondary last year.
Sure.
But it's a chance for them to start that rebuilding process, even though part of that rebuilding process had already begun the last couple of years. And I do believe they have the right quarterback in Sam Bradford.
Yeah, and they believe that too. And, you know, you talk with a Jeff Fisher, and, of course, he's excited to have Greg Williams there running his defense. And you would think these two defensive-minded guys want to make sure they've got a dominant. You mentioned that front seven, but, I mean, I think they want that to be the terror, and that they know they can build it to be and utilize all that creativity, the combined knowledge that they have, although I'm sure it'll be Greg's show to run as it was when he worked for Jeff Fisher previously in Tennessee. So I would think that's going to influence their strategy too, to get the right parts, the pass rushing guy to go along. You mentioned corner, something else. I'm not saying they're not going to try to get offensive players, but that's going to be a defensive-minded team.
Well, they want to play defense, they want to run the ball, and they want to protect Sam Bradford. I mean, that's the one thing that Jeff Fisher really wants. He wants to make sure that Sam Bradford is protected, because he believes when Sam is protected that, you know, he's as accurate a passer as there is in the NFL. And you know, he showed that with Pat Shurmur, I mean, you know, early on. So I think that's a big goal of theirs, is to get that defense. Defense is good for a quarterback. Quarterback can make a mistake, and if your defense can get the ball back, then that mistake's not quite as big. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be – listen, the NFC West is getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizona started to show signs last year of getting better. We see what San Francisco is now, and Seattle is getting better.
Right.
So all of a sudden the NFC West – you know, which used to be kind of, we used to laugh at them, even though the Arizona went there a couple years, you know, the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I think that division is much improved.
How do you see the running back position in this draft? It's a conversation that starts with Trent Richardson, and then it seems to stop pretty quickly. But are there other guys that are interesting at the spot?
Vic, you're gonna really have to talk to the draft guys in this one right no. now. Okay. I know about Trent Richardson because I watch him play all the time. I mean, I know it's pretty interesting, and a personnel guy has noted that it's rare when a guy who won a Heisman Trophy like Mark Ingram. Was the second best prospect in their backfield.
Mm-hmm.
So Trent Richardson is a guy who obviously is going to go high after that. I don't know, but you have different philosophies.
Sure.
Where did Arian Foster come from?
Yeah.
These guys are running backs are out there, and then it's just a matter of the qualities you'd like in them and
yeah, you don't need to make necessarily a big draft investment in that position.
To
be good at it.
Yeah, exactly. We have too many examples of it throughout history. I mean, not everybody's Barry Sanders.
When you talk to these clubs and get that big picture feel that you've concentrated on here, and I know you'll just continue this conversation going forward with all your many contacts in the league, how are the coaching changes? I referenced Jeff Fisher in St. Louis now, but the other coaching changes and some of these new faces who have, a Greg Schiano in Tampa Bay, where we just don't know really anything about their philosophy or thinking per se. How is that influencing how decisions will be made draft and free agency for those teams?
I know Schiano is going to try to adopt the Patriot model, the Bill Belichick model, because they do have a relationship, and that's And I think that's one reason why he's the coach there is they have a young team. So he's trying to put together a staff of young teachers, guys who are good teachers. And then as guys move on, he wants to be able to promote from within that staff. And so, he obviously wants he's going to run the defense, oversee the defense somewhat. And mm-hmm. So he's going to want those type of players. But I think that's why I've sat back and often said, be careful. When you're asking for an Andy Reid to get fired, like Philadelphia fans, I always like to say, okay, who are you going to hire?
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Greg Schiano. I'm just saying is be careful about what you ask for. You might get it.
Yeah.
And, look at the Giants. I mean, the Giants fans want Tom Coughlin fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, to sign him to a 10-year contract right now.
I was going to say, how would that have worked out? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, So I always preach stability. And now if it's bad, it's bad if it's 3 years where you've only won 4 games and 3 games and 5 games, mm-hmm. then obviously something's not working. But to me, it's a matter of, does he match? Does Schiano match up with what Mark Dominic and the Glazer family were looking for? I'd say yes.
Okay.
They obviously wanted somebody who knows how to work with young people, mm-hmm. who are teachers, who are into the discipline model, and who yet have some NFL experience, which Schiano had some. And clearly, if Bill Belichick says that's a good football coach, you probably listen.
Moore, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
All right, Vic.
He is Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.